can be found on page 980 of the Pew Bibles. And the reading is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. The parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and again in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for a fine pearls, and when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, how gladly and with what expectation do we bow low in your holy presence this afternoon to offer you the love and the adoration and the worship of our poor hearts. You are a great God and a great King. You are the God of our salvation, and in Jesus Christ, your Holy Son, you have redeemed us to yourself. How we bless you that in and through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, you have liberated us from the dark night of sin and death, and given us a dignity, and given us a hope bright beyond all imaginings. We marvel at the wonder and the mystery of your redeeming love, and we worship and exalt your holy name. Look upon us in mercy as we wait before you now, and be pleased to minister the grace of that redemption to each one of us in your holy word and by your gracious Spirit. Grant, as we have just sung, that truly we might feel thy power and hear thy voice and taste thy love in all its beauty and sweetness. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. In these two short parables, the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of greatest price, Jesus directs the attention of his disciples and our attention to the incalculable worth of the kingdom of God and to the great desirability and the immense cost of entering that kingdom. We look, first of all, at the value, the worth of the kingdom. Jesus describes two men of quite different backgrounds, each of whom discovers something of unspeakable value. A farmer ploughing a field unexpectedly happens upon a treasure cache which has been buried. A pearl merchant, as he goes about his business searching for pearls to sell, unexpectedly happens upon the most beautiful and magnificent pearl he has ever seen. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus affirms, is like a treasure of unsurpassed value and a pearl of incomparable worth. The kingdom of God, and this needs to be emphasized again and again, the kingdom of God is something incalculably precious and wonderful, rich and glorious beyond our wildest dreams. It is the greatest thing in all the world. And this perhaps prompts the question as to why Jesus should make this kind of emphasis, particularly if, as seems likely from Matthew's account of the telling, he is speaking to disciples who have already discovered the treasure. Now, although Matthew does not specify exactly, he does seem to indicate that as Jesus speaks these parables, he is speaking privately to disciples. Back at verse 36, we see Jesus leaving the crowd and going into the house. And it is then to the disciples in the privacy of the house, away from the press of the crowds, having just explained the meaning of the parable of the wheat and the tares, which we considered last week, then Jesus emphasizes the glory of salvation, the wonder of the kingdom of heaven, and he emphasizes it in terms of a treasure and a priceless jewel. Perhaps it is because of the disciples' misunderstanding. Perhaps it is because the disciples are cast down and need encouragement. Christ clearly feels that they need reminding of the unsearchable riches which is theirs in him. It is so easy, isn't it, under the rigors of discipleship and discipline, in the heat of the battle, it is so easy to lose heart and to sink in the slough of despond. And we need to be reminded time and again of our God and of his wonderful salvation. Sometimes to look at some of us, you might imagine, if you did not know any better, that the Christian life is the most miserable and gloom-laden of lives. Yes, to be Christ's involves sacrifice and struggle. It involves great burden and sighing. But, and this is the point of Jesus' parable here, to know Christ is to have discovered the greatest and most supreme treasure. It is to have discovered the pearl of greatest price. In Jesus Christ, God has given us salvation. And that is something incalculably precious and wonderful. It is a treasure rich beyond our wildest dreams. No wonder the man, as he stumbles on the treasure in the field, is joyful. Imagine the rejoicing in the heart of the pearl merchant. Eureka, I have found it. Glory, hallelujah. If he wasn't a staid Presbyterian, he might even have done a little dance, a jig of delight. One of the great sadnesses, if you were to listen to some of those who resist and reject the gospel, is that the implication is that they're being asked to sacrifice. You might be forgiven for thinking that the offer of salvation was condemning them to some terrible doom, restricting their lives and destroying all their hopes and plans. What a caricature. What a misconception. We have not understood the gospel aright if we conceive of it as a gloomy and restrictive life sentence. Indeed, it is the lie of the devil that God's kingdom is a poor, shriveled, wizened thing which restricts and kills hope and joy. In the face then of this kind of misunderstanding and the desolation and depression which can result from it, Jesus' teaching here speaks to us of the kingdom as something which is incalculably precious and wonderful. The kingdom of heaven is not something gloomy which impoverishes people's lives. It enriches immeasurably. It brings tremendous joy. It is a priceless treasure, a matchless jewel which makes us rich beyond measure and engenders joy and rejoicing. It is a prize worth having which is exalted and thrilling, surpassing all that we could ever have imagined. And this is why, again and again, the Apostle Paul, who, it must be said, suffered and struggled as much as any Christian, the Apostle Paul glories in the riches of God's grace. Writing to the Ephesians, he speaks of the glorious riches of Christ Writing to the Philippians, he speaks of God's glorious riches. Writing to the Colossians, he describes Christ, quote, as the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In his letter to the Romans, he bursts into doxology as he considers the mercy of God towards sinners. And he says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond finding out. And listen to this passage from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where he exults in the incomparable riches of the loving kindness and grace of God. And he contrasts being a citizen of Satan's kingdom. And it is being a citizen of Satan's kingdom which is the hopeless, wizened, shriveled life sentence. He contrasts that with being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 1, he says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. This is the unspeakable treasure of the kingdom of God. But what of the cost of the kingdom? Salvation, citizenship in God's kingdom, is a glorious treasure. And it is in the light of the incalculable glory and worth of what is offered to us in the kingdom that the value of everything else which we have hitherto prized fades into insignificance. When the farmer discovers the treasure, he sells all that he has in order to buy the field. He parts with everything he has valued until then, as if in the light of what he has discovered, it were of no value anymore. When the pearl merchant comes across the pearl, unblemished, large and spherical and milky white, when he comes across the pearl, without a pang, he sells all to buy it. Every pearl he had, which until then had seemed magnificent, is now eclipsed by the splendor of the pearl of greatest price. And in the light of that pearl, they are no longer the pearls they once were. And so he sells them. He sells all to have the supreme pearl. And the kingdom of heaven is like that. When we catch a glimpse of it, when we understand something of its treasure and glory, it makes everything which we had hitherto prized appear poor and insignificant by comparison. The Apostle Paul stumbled across this treasure on the Damascus Road. As Christ revealed himself, as Christ appeared to Paul in that sudden blinding light, Paul discovered the pearl of greatest price. And then he realized the paucity and the emptiness of all that he had previously cherished. The real, the supreme pearl showed up the paste for the imitation that it was. And years later, writing to the Philippians, Paul describes the transformation that this discovery made on his whole outlook. Once he had gloried in his Jewish ancestry. He was proud of his Pharisaic training and his zeal for God's law. But now, all of that paled into insignificance in contrast to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3 at verse 4. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. And the corollary of all of this is that although the treasure of the kingdom is glorious and free and makes everything fade into insignificance, it costs everything. There is a price to be paid for the incalculable blessing of God's salvation. No, we cannot pay for the kingdom. We cannot earn it in any way whatsoever. And yet, paradoxically, it costs us all that we have. If the farmer or the pearl merchant had been half-hearted, they would have missed the prize. Before they could possess the treasure or the pearl, they had to sell all that they had. And this is how it is for us. If we would enter the kingdom of God, we must let go of everything we have. We must let go of all that we treasure so highly and cling to so tightly. If we are going to grasp Christ, if we are going to grasp the treasure, the pearl of greatest price, we must do so with empty hands. I wonder, is there something, is there someone that fills your hands and your life, and which is the very impediment to you receiving the treasure of the kingdom? This is the very thing which is robbing you of the rich blessing of God. Indeed, in Scripture, we have record of one upright and good living young man who came to Jesus with his hands and his life filled with material riches. The record is in Luke chapter 18. He asked Jesus what he had to do to inherit eternal life. He was inquiring about the cost involved. And Jesus' reply was, it costs everything. Jesus said, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. The tragedy is that the rich young ruler was not willing for the cost, and he went away sorrowful. He was so near and yet so far. He clung to his earthly treasure and he missed out on the most wonderful and precious treasure of all. As one of the commentators puts it, he was being offered ultimate beatitude and he missed it. Foolish and benighted man that he was. The treasure of the kingdom incomparably glorious and wonderful, costs everything. Christ asks for total surrender and wholehearted commitment. And yet the truth is, that is as nothing when compared with the riches and the glory of gaining Christ. And it is when the cost makes us balk, when we feel that we are unable or unwilling to make that kind of sacrifice, it is then that we must remind ourselves of the treasure which is ours and will be ours. These two men in the parable did not find it difficult to give up everything. The farmer would have been a poor man. The merchant, rich. Their standing and background did not matter. When they saw the treasure, they were glad to sell all. The incalculable value of that which they were receiving was so much greater than anything they were giving up. And their eyes were on the prize. They kept their eyes and their minds on the fact that a glorious prize was to be theirs. And this is surely a lesson which we must learn. If we find difficulty in facing up to what Christ demands of us, we must look at what he offers us in himself. He offers us ultimate beatitude. It's not as if we were speculating on the stock market, paying our money and taking our chance. With Christ, there is no risk involved. Ultimately, there is no sacrifice on our part. It's not a decision to give up everything, but to receive everything. We often hear of those faced with the challenge of the gospel complaining that they would have to give up so much. They would have to give up everything. This was the reaction of the rich young ruler. But that is to quite misunderstand the gospel. We do not give up everything. We receive everything. Christ gives us everything. He gives us himself. He gives us a treasure which is incalculably precious and wonderful. The value of the kingdom and the cost of the kingdom. What about the discovery of that kingdom? And the final point to which I would draw your attention from these two short parables is the way that the kingdom, the treasure and the pearl was discovered. In each parable, the discovery is really very similar, despite the marked differences in the occupation and financial circumstances. Both the farmer and the merchant discover the treasure and the pearl unexpectedly. As the farmer ploughs, the ploughshare unexpectedly unearths a treasure cache. He was not looking for treasure. He was ploughing his field, and he stumbled upon the treasure. Perhaps we can picture the Philippian jailer here. The merchant, on the other hand, is searching. As part of his regular ongoing business, he searches for pearls. And yet, even he is surprised and overjoyed to come across the pearl of greatest price. Perhaps we can think of Cornelius here. I'll not go into the background to these two figures, but they give concrete examples to these two men. In the grace of God, this is how it is for most of us who are brought up far from the family of God. Whether we are searching for something we know not what, the meaning and purpose to life, or whether we are complacent and indifferent in our sin, we stumble unexpectedly across the wonder and joy of the gospel of salvation when the grace of God overtakes us. It is only when the light of Christ shines into our dark hearts, when in the grace and mercy of God our eyes are opened to see, it is only at that time that we discover the treasure which has remained until then a hidden thing. It is always and only by the grace and mercy of God that we enter the kingdom of heaven. And it might well be that after long years of complacent indifference, even antagonism and hostility to the things of God, it may be that you have happened into church this lunchtime and stumbled across a treasure. On the other hand, it may be that you have been seeking and yearning, seeking for personal fulfillment over many years, restless, dissatisfied, trying one thing after another, and so have thought that you would try the church. Well, you have come to the right place. The house of God and the foolishness of preaching may not appear to be the most likely place to discover the pearl of greatest price, and yet it is as the word of God is preached that God deigns to reveal himself. It is as the word of God is preached that down the centuries of history, men and women have stumbled across the hidden treasure and found the glorious possibilities of becoming citizens of the kingdom of God opening before them. A sudden and unexpected discovery of the grace of God, the miracle of the grace of God wrought in a person's heart, can happen in the most unlikely places and at the most unexpected times. A field under the plough, as one commentator puts it, is not a very likely place to find treasure. And even the most hopeless sermon, and this encourages me greatly, even the most hopeless sermon can be the field in which a man or a woman may stumble upon the treasure of the gospel. It is reported that Dr. Alexander White, who preached and was used of God so powerfully in St. George's Free Church in my hometown in Edinburgh during the second half of the 19th century, it's reported that he once met a woman during the week, a woman from his congregation, who said to him, "I did not like your sermon on Sunday." It was, as far as she was concerned, a duff sermon. But that same week, that lady's son had written to Dr. White to tell him that the Sunday sermon had led him to Christ. The field of the church, the field of a sermon, can look barren and unproductive, and it often does from this side of the pulpit. But it is exactly there that the treasure of God is hidden, waiting to be discovered. Please God, this afternoon, as the word of God has been expounded, however inadequately, please God, the treasure has been uncovered for all to see. And oh, that we, with empty hands, will lay hold of it with joy and know his peace and benediction. Amen. May the Lord himself bless the preaching of his word to all our hearts. Let us pray. Our Father, we give you thanks for your word. Your word which reveals to us the wonder and the joy of your kingdom. Your word which reveals to us the treasure and the pearl of greatest price. Give us eyes to see, we pray, the unspeakable glory and the privilege of sharing in that kingdom. And may the treasure of the gospel, with its great value and worth, garrison our hearts and grip our minds and draw us to the Saviour. and so equip us to serve and to live for you throughout this day and in the days that lie ahead. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.